If you have your Bible, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13 again. And I think this will be the last week, but I've kind of approached it a little different because there have been different things that I've wanted to talk about. And so this morning, the title is I Know a Secret. And what comes to your mind when you hear the word secret? My wife's saying something, I don't know what it is, but anyway. Now I'm curious to know, should we make her tell us right now? Should we call her up here and tell us it? No, I'm just messing. Well, I want to tell you what, I said that I want you to think about what you're thinking about, but when I hear the word secret, one of the things that comes to my mind is surprise birthday parties. In one particular party, I remember, it was my mother's surprise party. I'm assuming it was her 40th birthday. I don't remember. I'm also assuming that it was my sister and my aunts who were the mastermind behind this, because all I did was show up. I may have not known until I showed up whose birthday it was, okay? My sister still, she texts me every year to remind me that it's my mom and my dad's birthday. I know that my dad's birthday is in March, and I know that my mom's birthday is in June, but I do not know the day, even now. I should, that's bad. So she reminds me, so I would assume that that day was no different than it is now. And I don't remember, and they may have not told me either, because they probably didn't want me to tell. So I don't even know if I knew. I mean, I'll be honest with you. But that's not the part I really want to talk about. The part I want to talk about, and it was a secret from my mom. My mom didn't know anything about it. And they were very successful. We had the party at my grandma's house. And she lived down a dirt road. And we had, a tent in the front yard, and everybody's there, and my dad brings my mom down the road, and you can see Brother Daryl, because we're up on like a little bit of a bank, kind of like this, like that, you know, she come down the road like that, and when you see it, she's not happy. She's mad. Now, what you gotta know about my mom is my mom likes to be early. My mom don't like to be late. I'm like her. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. And she also liked to be involved. And it's what I've learned that she got older. My mom don't like surprises. She don't like surprises at all. And so that was kind of what happened. So I just know that she wasn't happy. And obviously she got happy when she realized that that's what it was. Because she thought she had missed out helping work and all that. But that's what I think about when I think about secrets, and we still have a good laugh about that at her expense. And needless to say, we don't throw her surprise parties anymore. She usually picked out all her Christmas presents as well. She's okay with that, 100% okay with that. The average person is holding about 13 secrets, according to study. But here's the question, how do they know that if it's a secret? Anyway, that's what I want to know. I mean, anyway, we've all heard secrets. We've all had to keep secrets. But one study said this, that keeping a secret can be a burden. Some studies reveal that keeping secret isn't good for your mental health. It's exhausting, okay? It's exhausting sometimes. To try to remember not to tell or this or that. And my rule of thumb is I usually forget. And someone tells me something, especially when someone says something like, so-and-so, I've got a lot of friends who be like, so-and-so's having a baby, but don't tell no one. Okay. And then, a year later, so I'm like, why didn't you tell me? Well, I forgot. I usually forget most of the time. But it can be exhausting. So for this reason, many people don't keep secrets. In fact, they tell secrets. I mean, you probably heard or said this. I'm not supposed to tell, but I'm going to. Anyone ever said that? and don't you tell no one. And then you know what happens. That person goes out and they say the same thing. Well, I'm not supposed to tell. So you don't tell no one. Well, that's the whole point. It's no longer a secret. We've probably all been guilty of that. And you say, well, what does that have to do with our text? Well, verse chapter 3, you'll see the word mystery three times. If you look in your Bible, you'll see chapter 3, verse 3. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. If you look at verse 4, it says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Then to go down to verse 9, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So we see here in the word mystery three times. The word mystery is a secret. It's something sacred, some secret which is not naturally known to man. Warren Wimpy said this mystery isn't something eerie or unscriptural, but rather a truth that was hidden by God in times past, that now is revealed to who are in his family. Now I want to listen to the next thing. One guy said that a mystery, talking about in the text, is a sacred secret and unknown to believers, but understood and treasured by the people of God. I thought that was, it really got me. Because I don't believe that the average believer understands or treasures the secret that God has revealed to us through Christ and his word. If you just want me completely honest, and I'm including myself in this, we as believers, I don't think that we understand, as we sang about the unreachable riches of salvation. And I don't know if we treasure it like we should. And obviously, in a nutshell, salvation. And really, in a nutshell, all that Christ can and in. And I'll prove it many times from the mic. And when I preach on a text about salvation, you know, what we call the ABCs of salvation, sometimes I kind of don't look forward to it, not because it's not a great truth, but because this is what happens. The average believer kind of glazes over. I'm afraid that the average believer doesn't understand the riches of salvation, but also doesn't treasure it. I don't think it, you may have something at your house that you treasure and you show it to people and you take care of it. I don't think that we treat salvation that way. I don't think we're like, oh, let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about what he did. Let me tell you how he changed my life. I don't think that's the norm for the average believer. I don't think the average believer knows how important God's secret is. I don't think the average believer is sharing God's secret with others. For this reason, I want to get three things about God's secret in order to understand and treasure it. Number one, I will look here at the identity of the secret. Letter A here, we're going to do that. That's the plan. And obviously, when we talk about this mystery, I'll go ahead and tell you now that all it is a plan. It's just a plan of God, and the plan of salvation that was not always known to all of us, but is known to us now. And so here's a few questions here under letter A, the plan, and that is, who created it? Well, let's look at our text. And then another reason is I want to preach again because, I don't know if you know this, I explained, you may not care. I kind of took this text the last two Sundays, and I kind of springboarded, so I kind of preached a little more topical. But I want to preach again this week and kind of dive into the text and get a little more out of it, okay? Kind of like coffee. The Bible's good to the last drop, okay? You know, it's good. Everything, every word is good. And I wanted to kind of, and I'll share something else as we progress. But in the text here, in verse 9, it said that to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay? So that answers the plan. That's who created it. God is the one that created this. Well, when was it created? Well, verse 9 says this. From the beginning of the world. One writer said that the mystery was not a recent addition to God's salvation plan for the world. It's just a recent revelation to his people. Now, this is what's most important. Why was it created? Why was this plan, why was this secret created of salvation? Well, here's why. Where all men can be saved. Look at verse 6. It says this. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, context, if you've been here, you know that the context is that Paul is writing to Gentile believers and he's addressing the issue. Let me turn this on. It went red on me. I'm going to take that off. I don't forget. Here's the thing. So content tells everything. There's a division, okay? Jews and Gentiles. What Paul's saying here is that all men now can be saved. So what I want you to understand here is why was this gospel created? Well, all men can be saved. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews in a statement that all men could be saved. Now, I want you to, I know there's a lot of debate, you know, well, not debate, but a lot of talk about race, but according to the Bible, really, people break down into two categories, Brother Mark, Jews and Gentiles. And so unless you're a Jew, and you may be, then that means you're a Gentile. Okay? So when Jesus says this about, or Paul says about Gentile, what he's saying here is that all men now can be saved. And here's the thing. It's very important. And all men need to be saved. All men need to be saved. I think you need to understand that man's righteousness falling short of meaning and falling short of God's requirement. Isaiah 64:6, and I said this last week, and I'm on a little bit of a soapbox about this, but it says, but we are an unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. You ever seen a leaf? It's green. And when fall comes, it fades away. That's how we are. See, I want you to understand this. I talked with the mic about this morning in prayer. And we are living in a time where that we have a false gospel being promoted. And that false gospel, and you can be a good person and go to heaven. Like I said, there's no such thing. No matter how good you are, no matter how, like I told Brother Mike, no matter, you know, even being Christ-like is a fruit of salvation. But being Christ-like alone is not what saves you. I just wake up, let's say I wake up and I've never been saved. I can say, I'm going to be Christ-like for the rest of my life. That's not going to save you. That's not going to save you. Being Christ-like is a fruit of salvation. I want you to understand that. What you can do is a filthy rag. I think about it like this. Have you ever seen a bicycle race or a foot race? And have you ever seen when they line up and then drop the green flag or shoot the little gun and you see that one person fall down immediately? You ever seen that? You can see it on, like, videos of people who are doing dumb things, you know? And we all get, ha-ha, and we laugh. That's a picture of your righteousness. You can try and horn as you want to run that race, and all you're going to do is get right there. You're going to fall down. And that's what not being taught today. That's not what's being told. It doesn't matter how good you are. Isaiah said, we are unclean things. We all fall short. Here's the thing. All men need saving. There's no exception. So, God created a plan for all men to be saved before they were formed. We've answered the who, God, the when, before the foundation of the earth, the why, how all men need to be saved. Now let's look at the how. How does God accomplish this plan? That's the letter B here, the person. The person of Christ. The secret is that God is going to make it possible for Gentile and Jew to be saved. How is this possible? Through a Redeemer. Now, didn't you what really prompted this sermon? Get what really prompted this sermon. Something that I really kind of felt ashamed about. The name Christ is mentioned 6 times in this text. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And so for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Go with me to verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Go down to verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ. Go to verse 8. And to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is given grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at verse 9. I'm not going to read the whole verse. Who created all things by Christ. Verse 11, according to the internal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I've enjoyed the last 2 sermons I preached out of this. But when I got looking at that, I said, you know, I've got to preach this again. I've got to preach this because Christ is mentioned 6 times. The only way that a Gentile or a Jew could be reconciled to God and to be reconciled to each other is by Jesus Christ. By the way, in chapters 1 through 13, or 1-13 is basically an extension of chapter 2. Let's look at what he said in chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, who sometime were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not anything else. Not anything else. Not by your good efforts. Not by what you think, not what you've been told, not what you feel, but we are made nigh, we are reconciled unto God by what Christ did on the cross. He shed his blood. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God and in one body by Christ, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, to them that were nigh, for through him we have access by one Spirit to one Father. Here's the thing. There's 2 issues. Ready? Number 1, the average person in America, in the Bible Belt, don't think they're far from Christ. They are. The average person don't think they're missing the mark by a little bit. And they think they can make up for that. Here's the thing. You're not even, I mean, you fell down at the start line. Most people say, I'm running 2nd or 3rd. No, you are so far away from what God wants you to be, there's no way possible for you and I to reconcile ourselves. Only Jesus. Jesus, the perfect person, being fully God and fully man, which is called the hypostatic union, died on the cross to satisfy God's wrath on sin. And because he did that, all men can have access to salvation. And Paul tells us how in verse 8 of chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Jesus Christ is the identity of the secret of God. Jesus Christ is the answer to your sin. Faith in him is nothing else. It's not a prayer. It's not 5 steps. I mean, truthfully, if we're going to do steps, it's really 2 steps. Recognizing you're a sinner and faith in God, or faith in Christ. You know, really, if we're going to do it in steps, it's really 2 steps. really one step. I mean, truthfully, Ephesians 2:8 says one step by faith. It's not five steps. It's not asking Jesus into your heart. It's not being a good person. It's not saying spiritual things. It's not even living a Christ-like life. All of that is works. Them things alone, and key thing alone, is not faith. Them things alone will send you straight to hell. It's faith. Okay, now I'm not saying that if you follow five steps, that negates faith. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you follow in five steps, and we don't have faith, then that's not leads to heaven. I'm not saying it's very biblical to be Christ-like, but just being Christ-like alone and having no faith is not salvation. I put this, the fruit of salvation is not how one is saved. The key fruit of salvation. We're getting the cart before the horse. The fruit of salvation is really in his works. And them things will never save you. Never. Salvation is faith alone. And I say this last week, but saving faith won't be alone. I'm going to say that again. Salvation is by faith alone, but saving faith won't be alone. And it's not that hard to comprehend. Yet we have so many people who go to both sides. They teach a work-based salvation. Now, basically, you're just a good person. You went to heaven. Or you have faith and don't have to change how you live. Both of them are wrong. Or both of them are not biblical. Salvation is by faith alone. But if you have saving faith, it's not going to be alone. And that needs to be preached. I'm afraid that's not being taught and understood these days. When we see here the identity of the secret, which is Jesus. Number two, the importance of the secret. Let's look at point number two here. The importance of the secret. The secret is that Jesus, through Jesus Christ, all men can be saved through faith. That's the secret. Letter A here. This secret, it was important to Paul. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians for a minute. Chapter 15, verse 3. Because Paul did a great job of explaining this secret. Verse 3 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians said, "For I," talking about Paul, "delivered to you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture." You don't hear that anymore. But that's exactly what God did. And what Jesus, and he was buried, and he rose again, and the third day according to Scripture, and he was seen of Cephas, of the 12, after that he was seen of the 500, of whom the greater part remained to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen also of me. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which is bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether I were, yet were I or they, so I we preach, and so ye believe. Okay? You know what that's saying? You know what he's saying here? Paul's saying, this is important to me. Paul's saying, the gospel message, salvation, the secret is important. I read behind different translations. In verse 3, the ESV says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." He said, the first thing I said, that what was most important to me, was the fact that I taught you the gospel, that you understood God's secret. Paul was devoted to the secret. I'm not going to repeat what I've said in the last two sermons, but we know that Paul was what, in prison. Why was he in prison? Over this very matter. He was in prison because, Brother Darrell, he decided, or he, not to say, God told him he understood that the gospel wasn't just for the Jew, but it was for me and you, because we're Gentile. And he said, I'm not going to back down from this. That's why he's in jail. The fact that all men could be saved through Jesus Christ was important to Paul. How important is it to you? How important is that to you? You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. Christmas coming up. You know where your family lives now. You have family that's not saved. Probably all of us do. If a tornado was coming through, I bet you'd call them and tell them, hey, the tornado's coming. It's important. Hey, how important is the gospel to you? Even on Sunday. Even for us. How important is it to you? See, this secret wasn't only important to Paul, but it also was important to Jesus. That's letter B here. It was important to Jesus. Now, we know that by Jesus dying on the cross, it was important. But we also know that by his decisions while living, John chapter 4, verse 4, says, Jesus, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, I'm not reading all the text, but we know what it was. Jesus went against what the culture said. Samaria, they did not, they were half Jew and half something else. The Jews didn't like them. The Jews would avoid them. They would walk around. And Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria. He said, I need to go talk to this lady at the well who needs salvation. I don't know how long it took him, probably not that long, but he said, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to go, and I am going to do what was not comfortable. I mean, even the lady said, like, you being a Jew, being a man, talking to me. He said, and Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus wanted to reveal and teach and reach out to this non-Jewish woman that salvation is for all. It was important to Jesus. He did what wasn't normal to reach this lady with the truth. Hey, here's the secret. Let me ask you the truth. The truth is that Jesus saves all men. Is that important to you? Is that important to you? Is that important to you? Is it? I mean, are you dedicated? Are you determined to share it? Are you building relationships? Are you investing time and energy with people and in prayer? Are you studying the Word of God to understand it, to where you can better give an answer? Are you going out of your way? I mean, are you doing what you can? No, Brother Mark, I know every time you meet someone, you're not going to be able to sit down and have a theological discussion with them. I know that some of them don't want to hear it. But you know what? The one thing that convicted me, and I got them back there, and sometimes, this may be all you can do at the moment. Sometimes. Other times it may be, hey, let me get to know this person. Hey, what's your name? Hey, let me talk, you know, get to know the person. Take them out to eat. I don't know what, and we got to build a relationship. We've got to be doing, but here's the thing. How many of y'all even hand out a card? I mean, that's really not the gospel, but I mean, do you even take enough time? Do you even have enough awareness when you go to the cash register to talk to someone that there's someone who God loves and they may not know Jesus? They may? I mean, do you even see? I heard of the song, you know, something about, I'm God giving you eyes. Do you see these people that you come in contact with as someone who needs Christ, maybe? Do you see that? Do you see that? And as you know, that person you come in contact with needs Christ. If they're not saved, they need Christ just as much as someone in a foreign country does. You know, the tear roll down your eye when you see that person and you walk away and you think, I wonder if they're on the way to heaven. I wonder if they even, I wonder if they even know the truth. They may reject the truth, but here's the thing, there's a lot of people who don't even know the truth. They really don't, they think that the truth. You have to be a good person, and God's going to, you know, look at your good deed and your bad deed, and that's going to get you into heaven. There's people who really, I'm convinced now, And that blows my mind that they don't even know that that's not how you get to heaven. That's why they think they're fine. Not because of being rebellious. They literally don't know. They're ignorant. They literally are ignorant that their righteousness is a filthy rags. Now, they may not believe it as you tell them, but they don't even know. And then you see that when you go out to eat today. Or when you go eat tomorrow, do you think about that? See, I think that's going to change how we react with them. I mean, here's my question. Is it important to you? I heard a preacher speak on this. It was at a men's conference, and he was a parent, and he talked about he said, parent, I don't want to make my kid go to church. And he said, okay. He said, do you make them go to school? I mean, yeah. Do you make them take their vitamins? Yeah. Do you make them go to the doctor? Yeah. Do you make them go to bed at a certain time? Yeah. And he said, then you make your kids do stuff all the time. And he said, you make your kids do what's important to you. You do what's important to you. If you don't have time, I mean, I'll just start with the base. If you don't have time to give someone a card or say, hey, what's your name? It's why. Because it's not important to you. If you never share the gospel at some point with people whom you can, you know, it's because it's not important to you. It's not because you're scared. It's because it's not important to you. You say, well, I don't know what to say. That's because it's not important to you. If it's important to you, you would find out what to say. Right? If I had to go do a speech somewhere and I didn't know what to say, Brother Monk, you better believe that I know what I'm going to say. Because you know why? Because my image is important to me. My pride. I wouldn't want to make myself look like a fool. Because it's important to me. So that idea was a lot. I would say this. How many of you can take your Bible and show someone how to be saved? How can you explain? Give an answer. If you can't, it's because it's not important to you. But see, that's not the case with Paul. Paul had a secret. The secret to God. God's secret. And it was important. Here's the thing. The gospel needs to be important to you. We see the identity of the secret. We see the importance of the secret. Now, number three, and finally, we see the instructions of the secret. All right, and we're going to go, because I'm not going to take a lot of time, and I'm not going to get into this totally, completely. It's a very rich, but the commitment right here is the commission. What is our commission? Well, Matthew 28:19 tells us, and it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, okay? So here's a little bit of a breakdown. The word go is not a command. You know, I want you to know that. You know, everybody, we gotta go. We gotta go out. We gotta go out of church. We gotta go. And we gotta teach them. And the go is not the command. It's a present participle. I'm not an English person, but that means going. The only command in this verse is teach all nations. Jesus is essentially saying this. While you are going, while you're living, while you're pumping up the gas, while you're paying for your food, while you're running to your neighbor and see them, you gotta teach all nations. It's all where, basically, no matter where you are, and that's why I do want to do some outreaches as a church. We need to do that. But the Great Commission, and I did this at the old church, and I'm not knocking it. We go once Saturday a month knocking doors. That's fine and all well, but that's not the Great Commission. It's not boiled down to one day a month. It's every day you wake up when you see someone, you're thinking, that's my mission field. That's my mission field. That the labor, the harvest is great. That's someone who if they're not, if they don't know Jesus, they need the truth. And every day, by the way, when you see it that way, that's when you're going to love that person and treat them like crying, and you actually can invite them to church. You can talk to them about Jesus. So you see them, and God sees them. Now, that's a whole other sermon. I've already preached on that. No matter where we are, no matter, we should be witnessing for Jesus Christ. And telling others about Him. This sharing a secret in a 24/7 job. This is why when you come in contact with someone, you need to be thinking opportunity. That means you need to treat them with love and respect and kindness like Christ would. You need to be interested in what they're doing. You don't need to be too busy for them. We need to invite. We need to share to the degree that you can. And then we need to teach all nations. The word teach all nations, you start studying, it means make disciples. But it's more than just share. What is a disciple? What did the disciples do? What did Jesus do? Jesus took them 12, right? And they were with Him all the time. Once again, all of it is a good step. It's not just that. It's getting to know someone. A disciple is an apprentice. We need to be doing that. We need to be spending time. See, we need to share the truth. But you're probably not going to be very effective sharing the truth if you're not spending time with them. You probably don't get very far. I mean, you might, but you're probably not. You know, if Brother Sonny don't know who I am, and I knock on his door and try to, I mean, I had this happen to me, and I open the Bible and say, let me tell you about God's love and how much we love you. Sonny can be like, I don't even know who you are. Get off my doorstep. But if I get to know Sonny, and I start talking to him, I start telling him, praying for him, I do so, I love him like Christ would love me. Now I build up a relationship, then guess what? Then maybe he might be like, well, tell me about more about this. See, it's spending time. It's spending time with them. And that's the thing, we're very selfish as Americans. You know, our most precious commodity is not money, but time. It's what we need to do. Every day, and I'm not going to get much more into that, and there's obviously more we can talk about, but here's the thing, every day we go out, we ought to be making an effort to make disciples, to make friends, to share the good news. And yeah, sometimes it may be just no more. Hey, like, I mean, if they're taking out groceries, they're probably not going to talk to you about spiritual things. Should they? Yeah. It's the most important thing. They're probably not going to see it that way. Hey, maybe it's a little more than that. And maybe someone, you know, I've already said, but you do what you can when you can. And as you do that, make sure you're doing it with love. 1 Corinthians 16:13 said, watch and stand fast in the faith. I mean, again, I'm conservative and I don't want to compromise. Stand fast. Quit you like me and be strong. And all your things be done with charity. The Bible's never an excuse to be a jerk. And let's be honest, we've been guilty of that as conservatives. We have. Maybe not meant to, but we have. As we do this, do it with love. That's our commission. It's not something we go, it's not something we go and do, it's something we do when we go. I'm gonna say that again. It's not something we go and do, it's something that we do when we go. That means when you get up tomorrow, and you go, whatever you do, the people you come in contact with, as you're going, that's what you need to be doing. Let them be here. We see the commission, but now we see the choice. So, you have a choice. So, what's the choice? Well, first off, if you're not saved, you have a choice to accept Christ or to reject Christ. If you're here and you're saved, you have a choice. And you can continue like Jesus talked about in Revelation, to be lukewarm, to be apathetic. You know, and you said, I preached this when I tried out here, I think. Jesus said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth if you're not neither hot nor cold. And what that was in, I think, Colossae, you had in your hot spring or cold spring. And in Laodicea, I think, you had either cold or hot, and it would pipe in the water, and it would start off cold, it would start off hot, and when it got to where they were at, it was lukewarm. And no one wants lukewarm. You either want ice, now that you want iced coffee or hot coffee. You want cold water. You don't want the in-between. And it's all about, Jesus, if you're not effective, if you're not an effective believer, if you're not doing anything for God, then that's what's going to make me disgusting. It had nothing to do with salvation. It had to do with effectiveness. Now, you have a choice. You can continue to be lukewarm, or you can say, hey, I'm going to be effective. I'm going to be like a cool drink of water. Oh, when I think it would be kind of nice to have one time a jacuzzi. Who likes a jacuzzi? In the winter, not like getting a jacuzzi in the wintertime. We like both of them things. But let's be honest, like, my wife will run the hot water out sometime, and I'll get in and take a shower, and it's lukewarm, and I hate it. God hates that with you. God hates it when you're lukewarm. You have a choice. What are you going to do? Let's be about the commission. And we conclude, the secret is this. Christ saves all men who trust in Him. Let me ask you this. Is it important to you? Are you sharing the truth? Like, you know, most secrets we can't keep quiet. But there's one secret that seems like no one wants to tell it. But it needs to be told, and God wants you to tell it. Are you sharing it? Are you, when you go out, on doing the commission? And if you're here today and you're not saved, I'm asking, are you saved? That would be what we need to do. That's the secret that you need to make a decision on. And we're standing on our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. As the piano players come up, we're going to play like we always do, a song of invitation. We won't drag it out. But I don't know about you, but and I do think I told Brother Mike this last Sunday, I'm encouraged because many of you are becoming more anyone to outreach and like that, just thinking about other people. That's a good thing. That's what we need to do. We need to keep doing that personally, but also as a church. Let me ask you, where are you at today? Isn't it important? Is it important to you? And here's the thing, if you're not saved, it's nothing more salvation in faith alone. Here it is. If you're not saved, you need salvation because you're a sinner. And the only way to be cleansed from that is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And if they begin to play, if God spoke to your heart, I want to encourage you, if you're not saved, to come down here. We'll take a Bible and show you the Bible, not the Free Will Baptist way, not the Baptist way, but the Bible way of how to be saved. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're lukewarm. Hey, maybe you can come down here and recommit. Hey, maybe there's something, that's the thing. Maybe there's a lot of things important to you, but hey, is the gospel important to you? Does your family know that it's important to you? I mean, if I went to some of your family members right now that are not in church and not saved, would they be like, that's all they talk about? Or let's be honest, have you even invited them? Let alone talk to them. Hey, let's go a step further. Are you praying for them? Wait till one loses their job, then we'll be praying. Hey, pray for so-and-so, they lost their job, but are we praying for them spiritually? And I am thankful that I'm hearing more of that in our church. Some of y'all are doing that. You know, you're telling me, you're telling others. What's important to you?